So there's an envelope on the counter. It's addressed to your company's EIN, and the number inside isn't tax you underpaid. It's a penalty for paperwork. And nobody called you, nobody audited you.
That's a CP215. And that reaction, where did this come from, is the normal reaction, because there genuinely was no conversation first.
How is that legal? I mean that sincerely.
These are what the code calls assessable penalties. The IRS can charge them directly. No proposed adjustment, no 90-day letter, no exam. The notice arrives, already final. Which sounds terrible, but there's a flip side. Because nobody heard your side, the abatement process exists to be that hearing.
Okay, so what's usually behind it?
For a small employer, information returns. W-2S, 1099 NECS, 1099 MISCS. Filed late. Filed on paper when e-filing was required. Filed with the wrong TINs or just never transmitted. And that last one is often a payroll provider or a bookkeeper dropping the handoff.
And the number gets big because...
Per form. It's charged per form. So one missed batch of W-2S for a 15-person crew can produce a five-figure CP215. That's the part that shocks people. It's not one penalty, it's 15.
What code sections are we talking about?
IRC 6721 is the main one. Late, incorrect, or unfiled information returns. Then 6722 sits on top of it. That's the payee's statement penalty, the copies that go to your employees or contractors. So the same failure can hit twice.
6721 and 6722, both on the same forms.
Right. And then there are two international ones worth naming. Form 5471, that's under 6038. $10,000 per form, per year. Form 5472, under 6038A. $25,000 per form. And those repeat. Every year the form stays on file.
Wait, repeat every year? So it's not a one-time hit?
Not on those, no. The clock doesn't stop just because the notice showed up.
Okay, back up to the everyday case. The 6721 amounts. How much per form?
Tiered. Smallest if you corrected within 30 days of the deadline, higher by August 1, highest after that. And they're inflation adjusted every year, so honestly, read the figure printed on your notice. Don't trust a chart you found online, including ours.
There's also an intentional disregard tier.
6721E. That's the IRS saying it thinks the failure was deliberate. Roughly double the top standard tier per form, and the annual cap comes off entirely. If you see that language on your notice, that's a different conversation.
Let me ask about the deadline, because that's what people actually panic about.
There's a due date printed on the CP215. That's the date. Pay by it, or send your abatement request by it. Interest is already running from the date the penalty was assessed, and once that due date passes, a late payment addition of 0.5% per month can start.
0.5% a month on top of interest.
On top of interest, yes. Same problem. More money to make it go away.
And if somebody just doesn't open it?
Then you're in the automated collection stream. Same one as unpaid tax. It runs on a schedule whether or not a human ever looks at your file. And the IRS workforce is down roughly 27% since 2025. So a human may genuinely never look at it. The sequence still escalates.
Walk me through the sequence.
CP215 first. That's where you are. Demand for payment. No enforcement yet. Then reminder notices. Balance growing each time. Then CP504B, which is the business intent to levy notice. At that point, the IRS can take the company's state refund and a federal lien becomes a live possibility. Then CP-297A, the final notice of intent to levy.
And that one's the important one.
That one starts a 30-day clock for collection due process rights. You request the hearing on Form 12153.
Form 12153, within 30 days of CP-297A.
Within 30 days. Miss it, and the IRS can levy without further warning. And for an operating business, the scary levy isn't the bank account. it's accounts receivable. The IRS collects directly from your customers.
Oh, yeah, that's... Your clients find out.
They find out.
All right, so options. What are they actually?
Three, and they combine. Pay it, request abatement, or contest it. Paying in full stops the accruals immediately and ends the notice sequence. Abatement is free to request, but the balance keeps accruing while it's pending, unless you pay. There's also a middle path. Pay first. Then, claim a refund of the penalty on Form 843. Accruals stop on day one, and you keep the argument alive.
Say more about the abatement standard, because I think people assume there's a first-time forgiveness thing.
That's the caveat I want people to hear. First-time abatement generally does not cover these. It covers failure to file, failure to pay, failure to deposit, not perform information return penalties.
So the first-time route is mostly off the table here.
Usually. And the new automatic exemption from penalty, the AEP, coming in summer 2026, targets those same common penalties automatically, helpful for other balances your business may carry. Not a fix for a 6721 assessment. So on a CP215, reasonable cause under 6724 is basically the whole argument.
Can you say the reasonable cause test in plain words? Slower.
Two things. One, significant mitigating factors or events beyond the business's control. Two, the business acted in a responsible manner, both before the failure and after. The after part matters a lot. Did you correct the filings as soon as you found out?
So the payroll company blew it. Is that enough?
It can be. It isn't automatic. The IRS expects you to show your own diligence. You hired a competent provider. You gave them complete and accurate data on time. You had no reason to know the filings were missed. Blaming the vendor without showing your side usually fails.
So it's really a documents problem, not an argument problem.
That's a good way to put it. Engagement contract. Data submission confirmations. E-file receipts, mailing receipts, the corrected returns you filed. That's the case.
And the hard part, honestly?
Two hard parts. Timing. Decisions take several weeks to a few months, and longer in 2026 with reduced staffing. And sequencing. An abatement request filed while the balance is small and current gets decided on its merits. The same request filed after a levy is in motion has to fight the collection machinery at the same time.
Is there a version of this where somebody just handles it themselves?
Sure. Small penalty, factually correct, no story behind it. Business can pay it. Paying by the due date at irs.gov/payments is the clean, cheap answer. One clear, documented, reasonable cause story with exhibits attached is a legitimate do-it-yourself project, too.
And when isn't it?
Five figures stacked across many forms or multiple years, because then the argument gets built form by form. Intentional disregard language on the notice. Anything involving 5471 or 5472, or a CP504B or final notice already in hand. Because now you're running the abatement fight and the levy defense at once.
Quick one. Is a CP215 the same as a CP161?
No. CP161, bills unpaid, tax on a return. CP162 is the per partner per month penalty for a late 1065 or 1120S. CP215 is a standalone civil penalty, and its individual twin is CP15. Same penalties, personal SSN instead of an EIN.
Okay, next 24 hours. What do I do?
Find three things on page one. The code section the penalty was charged under, the tax period, and the due date. Those three decide your whole strategy. Then pull your proof, the notice itself, e-file or mailing confirmations, your provider's records, any other IRS letters for that period.
And if you want a second set of eyes on it?
Send us a photo of the notice before that due date passes, or call 888-825-7779. An enrolled agent will identify which penalty was assessed and whether reasonable cause is even in play. Free, confidential. Eligibility always depends on your specific facts. Nobody can tell you the ending. But you can find out what you're actually holding before another month of interest posts.